Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, I'm Julie Gould, and this is Working Scientist, a Nature Careers podcast. Welcome to the series Beyond Academia, where we explore the movement of people between academia and other sectors. First things first, what is porosity? I first heard this term when I was talking with David Bogle, Pro Vice Provost of the Doctoral School at University College London, almost 1 year ago. It wasn't a term I'd ever heard before, so I asked him what it means.
The movement of people between academia and roles beyond academia, it doesn't only need to be industry, it can be government, it can be charitables, the third sector, small companies, policy, whatever it might be. But I'm really mostly talking about taking the skills and experience through and having that to be porous between academic roles and roles beyond academia.
Although this may not be new information, it can still be hard to hear. For most people who enter the world of academia end up leaving. Yet even though many people make this leap, I'm sure you're aware that it isn't an easy one. Chris Walston is a journalist who writes regularly for Nature Careers and is the editorial lead for the Global Annual Surveys of Working Scientists. In 2021, he reported on salary and job satisfaction and how careers in industry and academia compare. And he said that there are a lot of barriers across the membrane between the two worlds.
It's not just a membrane. There's all kinds of systems that are in place that keep people where they're at. They feel a lot of pressure from the people around them to stay where they're at. They get encouragement from people around them to stay where they're at. They at least know it. It's a known quantity. And everything on the other side of that membrane is an unknown quantity. And even if they have friends who have been over there and they can talk about it, they still may not be completely sure about making that transition.
But it is clear that the systems and barriers can be broken, says Soren Bregenholt, the CEO of the Sweden-based biotech company Alligator Bioscience.
I think the flow from academia to industry, that happens. That's how we all ended up in the industry. I think the other way around is probably more difficult and needs some help.
Joan Cordner spent several decades working in industry before becoming the interim head of department at the Department of Chemical and Biological Engineering at the University of Sheffield in the UK in 2020. After finishing her undergraduate degree in chemical engineering, Joan spent just over 3 decades working with the same company. Although the company did change its name quite frequently, starting as ICI and at the end it was Syngenta. Joan said that one of the toughest challenges for people who want to make this move, the one where you try to get back into academia, is to persuade the academics that they really, really want you on their team.
In a sense, you have to be a square peg fits in a square hole. And if you're a round peg, you have to convince people that you can become square, or they need a round peg.
What she means here is that those doing the hiring for academic positions, the square holes, traditionally look for academics, or square pegs, to fill those positions. Now, if you're someone who has spent some time away from academia, aka a round peg, you need to show them that you can provide extra skills that make it a perfect fit. that you can be a square peg. Or what you need to do is to show them that they need someone with industry skills, knowledge, and experience, the round peg. So the membrane has round holes and square holes, and I imagine many other shaped holes too. But the more I talk to people about this concept of porosity, the more I realise that it's more complicated than just fitting the right people through the right holes and back again. UK entrepreneur and technology transfer professional Nessa Carey, whose career has straddled academia and industry, including a senior role at Pfizer, agrees.
I think it's more sophisticated than that now, because I think what we're seeing is such a huge emphasis on collaborating between industry and academia. And we're also seeing more use of placements. So I think what we're seeing is a lot more back and forth between the sectors that's breaking down some of the barriers that used to exist. So I think you can take it from a real extreme of are you in industry or are you in academia to what's actually happening at that interface between the two.
What Nessa is referring to here is a collaboration between the sectors, how academics and those outside of academia are working together on projects, and importantly, with the same goals. These collaborations aren't easy to manage, she says. Academics and those working outside have very different working cultures that quite often clash. But the most important thing is to make sure that expectations are set at the beginning of the conversations.
It's really important that everybody's very honest at the beginning about what they want out of it. There's no good, for example, academics saying, yes, yes, we want to get into this. And yes, we completely understand what industry wants, when really what they're thinking is, this might be a slightly easier way of getting money. And once the project started, it can go where it likes, because, of course, we're all going to follow the science. That's not what happens. You know, I've chaired some of these sorts of collaborations and have had to be the person saying, you're right, that is a really interesting finding. And within this project, we're not continuing to investigate it. I'm sure we can find a way of handling the intellectual property so you can go off and do that separately. But that's not what we're aiming for in this programme.
So why is porosity so important? Well, when you look a bit more closely at what is happening between the two sectors, you'll find that some really big players are interested in taking it down. Joan Cordner, who we heard from a little earlier, is getting involved in conversations with the powers that be over how academic science is funded and analysed here in the UK. The people involved in this are the leaders of the funding bodies, the UK government, and deans and presidents of UK-based universities. And porosity is a big part of that conversation.
I think it's actually fundamental for the success for the country. How do we make sure that we really are the research powerhouse we deserve to be? Well, part of that, and it's only part of it, we always need underwriting fundamental science, but part of that is making an impact.
Here, impact means how is the basic science that is done in academic institutions going to solve some of the challenges we face as humans? Vaccines against pandemics, climate change, food scarcity, the list goes on.
And so in academia, the impact metrics, so the KEF knowledge exchange metrics, are becoming more important.
These metrics come from the Knowledge Exchange Framework, or KEF, which has an aim to increase efficiency and effectiveness in the use of public funding for knowledge exchange, to let businesses and other users outside of the academic world access this knowledge and expertise that are embedded in English universities.
In the REF, the impact stories are now part of the REF and getting more prominence.
The REF, or Research Excellence Framework, is a system used in the UK to assess the quality of academic research and thus inform the selective allocation of research funding. There are three main sections to this assessment: the quality of outputs, for example, publications, performances and exhibitions, the environment that supports the research, and finally, the impact beyond academia.
The way the country is moving and the way the metrics for academics are moving are in the right way to drive more porosity.
So as this topic is right at the forefront of people's minds, I thought it might be a good time to see if we can shine a light on it, on what some of the challenges and barriers are to porosity and how to overcome them, but also on how the sectors are working together in different ways to further our knowledge and to take on some of those big global challenges that we face. So when David Bogle from UCL first approached me with this concept of porosity with respect to the movement of people, I was immediately imagining this literal, slightly flexible membrane that surrounds universities with a variety of different shaped holes in it, depending on which department of the university you came from. The bigger the hole, the more people that moved from academia to the beyond and back again. The smaller the hole, the fewer people moved, but also the harder it is to move. And it turns out that this isn't a bad way to visualise it. So keep this image in your mind as you listen to the series, as I hope that with some of the conversations I share, I can make some of those holes bigger and maybe explore what it would be like if there wasn't a membrane at all. Thanks for listening. I'm Julie Gould.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.